Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today is an off day for the Padres, but it's also the MLB draft. And our host Mike Janella knows who he'd pick for the team and is ready to defend those picks.
Everybody just fist fight me.
The fist fight is going to be glorious. Yeah.
Randy Jones also knows who he'd pick, but only because he cheated off of Mike's homework.
I monitor you, Mike. I check it out.
Oh, so now I have to be careful. Look over my shoulder.
And rounding out the crew, it's Chris Ello, who's also got some prospects he'd pick in mind, but is willing to suffer the consequences if he's wrong.
Guess you have to just take your pie in the face right now.
Now, coming to you from the AMR studio inside the Western Metal Supply Company building, it's Padre Social Hour with your hosts, Mike Janella, Randy Jones, and Chris Ello.
Happy Thursday, happy draft day, everybody. Welcome to a Padres off-day edition of Padres Social Hour. And we're here at Petco Park in the AMR studio. Maybe an off day for the big league team, but not an off day for the franchise. There's some draft happening today. Have you heard
about
this?
That's right.
Yeah.
Big day.
We'll take you right up to it. The Padres are making 5 picks today. They have 6 of the first 85 picks, and we're taking you right up to there. We're going to get to that in a bit, but gentlemen, you have a very tough task ahead. Because yesterday was maybe, I think, the best show in Padres Social Hour history.
Oh, really?
It's going to be a tough task. I mean, Blooper, your vote, you've been here for pretty much every episode.
It compares with Lil Jon.
I mean,
I'm glad I miss all these.
We had Mark Paul Gosselaar.
All these celebrities that, you know, I don't know, they seem to blow your dress up really big.
Oh, Jeff. Yeah. Oh, I mean,
they
Zach
really
Morris
do.
Was here. What else?
I'm excited to be sitting with Randy Jones.
You know, I mean,
Snoop
I don't
Dogg
know.
Was here.
You're my celebrity,
Jack Morris
man.
Can't hit a slider. I don't understand it.
No, Snoop Dogg maybe can
Snoop
hit it.
Snoop
Dogg
can't
take two
a strike,
and hit the right.
I know that.
No, his pitch was
that
terrible.
We learned. You're in the same seat Snoop Dogg was in yesterday, Chris. I mean, you should feel honored.
I know.
And the reason that yesterday was so great was for one moment in particular. Snoop and Bill Center, you put them together, that's magic.
I heard that was that's a new
it
team.
It was so
now.
Good, we've got to run it back from yesterday.
It's here's like Starsky and Hutch or something.
Yeah, the new Starsky and Hutch, Center and Snoop. Check it out. Any slang you can teach Bill so he can be up on it with the kids these days?
Any slang?
Yeah.
Yep. You tell everybody they owe you some money, tell them to break bread or fake dead.
Break bread or fake dead?
Exactly.
What's the over-under until Bill uses that on Blooper on some episode at some point this year?
Wait till I get him in the press box today.
Thank you. Break bread or fake
dead.
I love it.
Are we emphasizing the fake or the dead?
The fake.
Oh, okay. I would have emphasized the dead.
Let me see how you're going to say it.
Break bread or fake dead?
Hello.
So the new best friends that anyone could ever
Bill
have.
Bill Center may That's have a amazing. New job.
Bill Center and Snoop Dogg.
New
and
job.
After I tweeted this yesterday, Blooper reminded me, right after we went off the air with Snoop, he asked one of his entourage if he could take a picture of him and Bill Center.
That's awesome.
How often do you get someone like Snoop asking to take a picture with you?
That's going up on Snoop's office.
Yeah. Hello.
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 That's
funny.
That's beautiful.
So good. So
good job, Bill.
So
we hang
that,
in there, Bill.
So we had that to go try and top today. We're going to do our best. Chris, you brought guacamole.
I've been hearing
you've been talking
you did
about it on the show.
You guys were nice enough to do the whole Bitmoji thing the other day, which I thought was a lot of fun, and give me the avocado hands
nice.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? Everybody's, you know, we did a show a few weeks ago about what we would bring to a barbecue, and I said guacamole. And I took a little heat for that.
Yeah, I couldn't understand
so
that.
So I'm bouncing back today, and I'm just bringing my guacamole to kind of show why.
We will taste test and see if it's all that it's
I'm willing
up
to do a live taste test.
We have A.J. Preller. He's not coming on the show, but he'll be on the show. I caught up with him earlier this week. He sat down here.
Kind of glad
set.
You did it earlier in the week because he needs to be busy.
He's
today.
A little
yeah,
busy today. Yeah,
yeah.
We just want to take
right
AJ
now.
Away from his main priorities. So we have that coming up. We talked to him about the draft of the Padres general manager. We'll also get into some of your draft memories, Randy. You're someone who's been through this process before.
Yes.
So it's going to be a good show. And make sure to join the conversation anytime you feel like using hashtag PadresSH and jumping on the conversation happening at Padres.com/social hour. It's funny, we talk about how great yesterday was, the show, for a lot of us, but kind of like you, Randy, you can't make everybody happy. And we had one tweet come in from our old buddy Cranky Ed, and his Twitter handle, NoNonsense88, glad I missed the show, never interested in entertainers on a baseball show.
Good job, I like it.
No way.
Come on. It was so fun yesterday.
I like him.
Cranky Ed. First of all, I like the nickname. And I'm sorry that he stole it from me. But
Cranky Chris.
Yeah, I like Cranky. I like that.
He's earned it, yeah.
But it's a long season. You got to have some fun along the way. I think
it's great to have Snoop Dogg and Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Me?
These are A-listers.
Snoop Dogg A-list. I don't know, Mark. I got to be honest.
Zach Morris is A-lister. That's blasphemy. The words
not
are coming
A-lister.
Out of your mouth, Chris.
No. Snoop Dogg, yes.
Snoop Dogg, though, did have, and this was maybe a bad omen for the game, and we'll get to the game yesterday in a sec, the Padres losing again in a series finale. The first pitch he ended up throwing, he said here on set, he's going to throw heat, it's going to be in the strike zone, and then it was all over every sports show last night how bad his first pitch was.
Yeah.
We're taking a look at it now in painful slow motion. Wasn't even close. He did have the heat. He threw it pretty hard, but man, did he miss. And it was, and here it is in full speed as we're taking a look at it now. Just way to the right, way outside,
whoa,
almost hit the national anthem singer who was at the backstop.
Did he point his foot at home plate? He kind of, his landing foot was okay. The arm just dragged way behind
way
the body.
Way behind, yeah.
That's the deal.
And he's a guy, he's thrown first pitches before, so he had experience. So it's not like that was his first time.
The worst ever was the Mariners Cincinnati. Do you remember him when he hit the umpire standing up the first baseline? Halfway up the first baseline, the umpires were like, Where'd that come from?
You can argue. Here it is. We're going to take a look at it now. Nice job, Blooper.
Yeah, and then
the umpire threw him out of the game after he almost hit him. Yeah.
Bloop. Nice way to have that handy.
He's way left, like 30 feet left of home plate.
That was the worst throw ever.
He was not good at that.
So Snoop wasn't that bad.
No. But the other one that we talked about on the show was 50 Cent, another rapper who also has an infamous bad first pitch. Mm-hmm. He did through his at the Mets at Citi Field. And Snoop Dogg, this is the pitch he's referring to, also way left. Snoop Dogg also
lefty.
A southpaw. Or 50 Cent a southpaw, I should say. And he was way off to the left. And then after the game yesterday, so Snoop, after all, he talked it up. He actually tweeted at 50 Cent, got you beat, cuz.
Oh, Snoop took credit for having a better pitch even.
Wow. No, I think got you beat in a bad way.
Got you
like,
beat
because
mine was worse.
Yeah, exactly.
Who had the best opening pitch ever? We all agree, right?
George Bush.
George Bush is on after 9/11.
Yeah,
that's I agree.
Greatest thing he ever did in his presidency. Right.
We're not going to go down that route.
I know we're not getting into that category.
We're not going there.
Blooper's on fire today. He's got the George Bush
video now,
too.
You got the George Bush one. Not a baby Blooper.
Now, this one, I mean, the pressure, the situation, the context.
He's wearing like a
bulletproof
vest under that
under his sweater. And then he just pipes in a bullet. I mean, a seed. What a strike. And from the rubber, too. They had that ceremonial rubber in front. He actually went all 60 feet, six
this
inches.
This was beautiful, right?
Watch it now.
There.
I mean, boom.
Yeah, that was sweet.
That's nice.
Right down the middle. Yeah, nice little break to it.
He was in the underground cage.
He said he was warming up.
He said he warmed up. I mean, and understandably
they have
so.
To warm up.
Understandably so. All right, let's get to yesterday's game. And, it kind of went the way of Snoop's first pitch. Very much askew for the Padres. This series finale stuff.
I don't get it. I don't understand that.
1-19 now.
There's no way to explain this except for it's in their heads a little bit. I mean,
do you think
I would think it has to be.
Well, I think now
they have to certainly
think about
know
it
by now.
Yeah, when you bring it up, you know, now it's definitely in their head. I think, you know, it's just
Pomeranz
was
just leaving stuff up in the zone to guys that aren't really, you know, this Ender Inciarte guy. He looks like a Hall of Famer when he comes here. When he was with Arizona, he would go crazy here, and then yesterday he had a single, double, and a triple, his first three at-bats, but just Drew Pomeranz did not have his best stuff. I thought he did well to get out of it with four runs.
Oh, I agree.
Because he was leaving a lot of stuff up in the zone
all day long. They're trying to take him the other way, and he was serving up pitches like thigh high where they could drive the other way.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to get aggressive on that breaking ball,
ultimately,
they were kind of laying off on that.
It comes down to you can't score. You know, Will Myers hits two home runs. You need to win this ball game. But nobody helped him.
Yeah, he was the only one doing any damage yesterday, all by himself. We've talked about it with Bob Scanlon here on the show before, back when they were only 1-18 in series finales. And his theory is that it's because most of these finales are getaway days. They're day games. And if you look at the day game numbers for the Padres this year, abysmal.
They are abysmal.
They are dead last, not just in the National League, but in all of baseball, in day game batting average, on-base percentage, ERA, and WHIP. Second worst in all of baseball in slugging and in batting average against.
If you talk about, you know, Sunday day games
and how
and
we
getaway
to,
days are usually a day game.
Well, how do you fix that? What's wrong? What's so hard about playing baseball in the sun?
I don't know.
Or earlier
in the
day. The
other teams seem to be doing okay.
They're doing better than okay when it's against the Padres.
Maybe you got to flip-flop the lineup. Let the pitcher lead off
Now you're going to go Billy Martin on me and pick the lineup out of a hat.
Just bizarro. Yeah, bizarro.
I just think it's one of the – I'll be honest with you. I'm saying right here I think it's just one of these strange things. I think the second half of the season – I'm not calling they go 19-1.
20 games now is a big sample size.
To me, it'll even out. I don't see any reason for it. You're going to try to tell me that the other teams are scouting them over the first two games.
That's what Sandlin thinks, too. And by the third game, he thinks that's the play
they've got
a
beat on what the Padres are doing. I find that really difficult.
I really find that difficult to believe. Yeah. You know, a couple of games is going to give you a scouting report for the finale. And I'm not going there.
I bet you they go. I'm going
to say loves it. He said
I bet you they go
500
the rest of the way on final game of series.
Yeah, get
just going to even out.
That's on tape now. We're going to
as long as they're not going to stretch on getaway day. You know, getaway day, getting your luggage, yada, yada, and all that stuff. And
but the other teams are doing it, too.
I understand.
And it's happening on games that are series finales within a homestand. You know, they're not getting away anywhere.
Well, you're going for a sweep, though. I mean, you think you'd step it up a notch.
0-8 going for a sweep.
And against the Braves of all teams, too. I mean, how upsetting was that? The worst team in baseball, and the sweep is right there for the taking, and you can't pull the trigger.
Okay, you want the bottom line?
Give it to me.
It's not a championship team we're looking at here this year. Championship?
What?
Yeah, championship teams. Don't do stuff like this.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that's it. I mean,
aren't 1-19
no,
on getaway.
No, that just doesn't happen.
Ironically, that one was against the championship team, the Chicago Cubs, in a doubleheader sweep.
That's strange.
That's baseball. You never know. Right. Will Myers, we mentioned, great day yesterday. The only guy offensively that really showed up. Two home runs. And coincidentally, yesterday, before the game, Major League Baseball released the latest update on the All-Star Game voting. And they put it out, and again, as for the first round, no Padres anywhere to be seen, including Will Myers, who's probably right now offensively the best shot the Padres have, but he's not even in the top five for first baseman voting. And for Will, now after his two home runs yesterday, I looked this up today, he's in the top five in the National League among first basemen in the following categories: runs, homers, RBI, steals, average, OPS, and WAR. You know what other first baseman in the NL is top five in all those categories?
No.
Nobody.
Yeah.
He's the only one. Is Will Myers, you guys, All-Star Game worthy?
He's All-Star Game worthy, but obviously he's going to have to be a manager pick. You know, if he's going to
Rizzo's going to get the vote.
Yeah, he's not making it in by the
Goldschmidt is going to get there based on reputation.
Somebody can't make it. And
here's a guy here's a name that's going to cause Will Myers some problems as far as getting on the All-Star team this year, and it's not Will Myers' fault, but that's Chris Carter, who plays first base for Milwaukee and has hit 16 home runs, and everybody knows about that. And Milwaukee's got to have a representative. So this
you
is
think
the
him over like Jonathan Lucroy or Ryan
VR Ball? VR, who's leading the league in stolen bases, could get the selection from Milwaukee, but somebody's got to come from Milwaukee. I'm worried about that. Brandon Belt's having a pretty good year as well. I think Will Myers is All-Star worthy, but we're watching him every single day, and he's playing. The play made at first base, I thought, yesterday in the first inning, saved the game for the moment, because that goes down the line. It might be 4-0. That's a nice play.
Good call.
Even playing well defensively. But, you know, the Padres are having a tough season. They're playing late night on the West Coast, and nobody's noticing it other than us.
Well, and the big thing, you know, Andy Green going to be one of the coaches, represent the Padres.
We'll
you know,
I
mean, we're talking about a pitcher going to make it. Whether it be Fernando Rodney
or Pomeranz. Yeah.
You know,
they're not going to get two guys, though, Randy, are they?
Here's what Andy Green said yesterday about being chosen as a coach for the All-Star Game. He goes, if Terry Collins, the Mets manager who's managing the All-Star Game, if he asks me anything, I will advocate very strongly for our guys. So if there's an extra spot in there, or maybe if Will Myers makes that final vote that the fans get that last man on the roster, and maybe Andy Green puts some muscle behind it, maybe Will Myers can end up sneaking in with those pitchers.
Yeah,
maybe.
We look at it.
The numbers are
tough.
Can I just tell you just a quick all-star story from 1999? That was the year that Bochy picked the reserves, right, because the Padres went to the World Series in 98. And at the last minute, he needed another pitcher. And he couldn't think of somebody. And somebody in the media said, well, you know, this Scott Williamson for Cincinnati's having a nice year. And Bochy said, okay, he's the guy.
He was on the team. Yeah.
The managers do their best, but you're right. A suggestion by Andy Green could fit the guy in.
It could fit
Will Myers in at the last minute.
Whoever's in his ear a little bit.
That's right.
Gonna make a
difference. That's how it can happen.
And the good thing for Will, maybe, and there's a lot of good first basemen, but he can play some outfield too. He's flexible. If you're looking as a National League to actually win the game when it matters, it counts. Maybe he's someone that could get in that last.
I hope he makes it.
I think so, too. And he deserves to right now if the numbers keep it up. He's got to avoid those big slumps that we've seen. He just had one that he's coming out of. Nah, if he can avoid that, I think those numbers
about,
will be
there. He had about 10 more dingers this month.
Yeah, that's all it takes.
That ought to do it.
That'll put him in.
By the way, before we get to draft talk when we come back here in a second, James Shields made his Chicago White Sox debut yesterday.
Saw that.
Man, he got rocked. 2 innings, 7 earned, gave up 3 home runs. 79 pitches.
I was going to bring that up because how many games did you pitch in your career of less than 79 pitches? At least a half dozen, right?
A half dozen.
He went 79 pitches for two innings. That's a struggle.
That's not good.
A lot of people already yesterday. Padres won the trade. I think one starts a little bit too early for that.
Let's not lose our head.
An inauspicious start for James.
He's in a tough ballpark, though, for a guy that gives up home runs.
Very tough. And we saw 3 of them yesterday already. All right, when we come back, we're going to get into today's draft talk and some trips down memory lane maybe coming on the way from Randy's day.
Sounds good.
Yeah, how about that?
I can tell you about how I wasn't drafted if you'd like.
I can tell you about that too. I don't think people want to hear about that, Chris.
Me three.
join the club. But first, I want to let you know about a new giveaway coming our way here when the Padres are back in town. All fans in attendance on Saturday, June 18th, for the 7-10 game against the Nationals will receive a blue Padres fedora. Love fedoras, presented by National University. Stay after the game, too, for an all-star game-themed fireworks show. Get tickets today at Padres.com.
Is that Nikki modeling that? That looks a little like Nikki.
That was not Nikki modeling that. We're going to come back and talk some draft memories you don't want to miss it. This is Padres Social Hour.
Before every game, get your Padres talk on with us. This is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour here on draft day. 4 o'clock, draft coverage starts. But before we get to the draft coverage, we have the live taste test here in the AMR studio of Chris Ello's supposedly world-famous guacamole.
Good stuff, man.
Randy is hoarding the chips. He has the whole bag of chips.
You better hurry
here.
Up and eat some because
I'm lucky that I was able to get just one. So this is going to be my live first dip here, and we'll see what this is all about.
Sounds good. The crunch on air just sounds amazing.
Oh, this is really good, Chris.
This is good.
Thank you. Glad you like it.
I can see why you would bring it first overall to a barbecue.
See, that's
why. This is great.
Now I'm expecting you to bring hamburgers and hot dogs and beer to a show. And I'm expecting Center to bring
the
ribs and you bring the sauce and the whole thing.
You got a deal.
Now, this is a good start.
I'm hoping I'm starting a tradition.
Yeah, let's make it happen. Yeah. The more, if anyone ever wants to bring food or drink to the set, you're more than welcome, whether you're on the show or not.
That's right.
We'll take anything.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to draft talk here in just a second. But first, a tweet that came in on hashtag PadresSH during the break. Jake tweeting in, we were talking about Will Myers maybe making the All-Star game. I've been strictly voting Myers, only filling out the NL first base slot for the All-Star game. So he goes in, votes Myers, no other position, gets out. Jake, that's great, but you still got some work to do, man. Anthony Rizzo at first base, 1.26 million votes.
Yeah.
And John Jaso, who was in fifth place, at 210,000. So Myers is at least below that.
Wow.
So only a million more votes or so, and Will's right there. No, these Cubs fans are voting like
it's an all Cubs infield.
Well, yeah.
It's an all Cubs infield.
Right now, yes.
I get it. You know.
And Dexter Fowler.
Rizzo, Zobrist, Bryant, Russell, and then Fowler. And their catcher's third in the catching ballot. So they're voting hard.
Well, there was a year, 1985, the Padres had 5 guys start the All-Star game. So it did happen. Of course, it was the year after they won the 84.
Right. Especially now with the online voting and what we see the Royals
fans
doing.
But now with the online thing,
it's a free-for-all.
It's different.
All right, let's talk some draft. And today the Padres, as we've mentioned, have 6 of the first 85 picks. They'll make 5 of those picks today. They have nearly $13 million of pool money to play with. What they can do and manipulate with that in terms of who they can sign and when. That starts all at 4 o'clock. But now we're going to take a little bit of a detour back in time. I'm going to put you, Randy, on the Cholula hot seat.
Okay.
Welcome. You were drafted a 5th-round draft pick, 1972 draft.
Yeah,
we're going way back.
No, we're going way back,
fifth
man.
Fifth round.
I mean.
Yeah, how'd you last so long? How'd you drop so far?
Are you kidding me? I mean, well, number one, remember, I was 22. I just got my degree. I graduated college. So I wasn't like an 18-year-old prospect.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, and I went and played golf that day with some buddies of mine.
Did you know the draft was even going on that day?
Sure.
Because back in the 70s, it really wasn't.
Well, yeah, but
I
talked to a couple of Detroit Tiger scouts that I'd known and had known for quite a while, and really thought the Detroit, Tigers were going to take me in the 5th or 6th round.
Is that right?
Is what I was told. So I went and played golf, and And came back, and then, you know, when my phone rang, I got the phone call, and that's how you find out in the old days.
Right.
It wasn't like you got on your computer and checked it all out, you know. And so, you know, all of a sudden, you know, it was, you know, Marty Keogh and Cliff Ditto from the San Diego Padres team. Well, we selected you in the fifth round. We'd like to come by and talk to you. And I was shocked. I went, wow. It wasn't even in my radar that the Padres were even
interested. Speaking of radar, I had a quick question, if you don't mind. I just was – because your radar, your fastball never blew up a radar gun.
No.
I'm curious, would you have been drafted in this day and age throwing the same speed you did then? Or, you know what I'm saying? Because there's so much reliance now on the radar gun
as opposed to back then. Yes, but it'd been deep. I think I
would have gone way down?
I would have gone way, way down. Huh. In the draft, because I'd, you know, throw an 85, 86. But, you know, the only thing I was really able to do at every level wherever I pitched, I won ball games. I won a lot of ball games and had a lot of success.
Yeah.
I think that would get somebody's attention. But, I mean, I'd be in the 37th round. It'd have been down there.
Yeah, very different.
And I probably got just about the same signing money that I got then. I'd probably get
yeah, I mentioned that the Padres have about $13 million to play with in this draft.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Some of these guys, these bonus baby guys, no matter who they're being drafted by, they're clearing $5-6 million. How much did you get?
I think the Padres had $13,000 as a budget. I got $1,500. It was my signing bonus.
Wow.
And it was fine. I mean, and it's one of the advantages, I think, in the draft that you can have. And you get the young kids, the prospects, you know, it's just raw talent you got to develop. And then also, but I think when you have a young man that's a senior and coming out of college, you got to let him over a barrel. You haven't got a lot of options. Either you're going to sign a professional contract, you're going to get a job, going to go work. And that's really the truth. And you'd have to take advantage of that. And that was my scenario at the time in the fifth round. You know, hey, if I didn't sign and go play, you know, pro baseball, I was going to go get a job. I wasn't like I was going back to school. And so, and I knew that. I figured that out.
Right.
But, you know, all you want at that point in time is an opportunity.
Yeah.
And that's all I wanted.
And, you know, another way that the days have changed so much, the Padres had the first overall pick that same draft, and they had Dave Roberts, the other Dave Roberts.
Right.
And he played later that day for the Padres.
That's right.
Game two of a doubleheader.
Third baseman.
Can you imagine getting the kid who gets drafted today, and then he goes out and plays tonight or tomorrow?
I remember being a teammate.
That is out of control.
The next year in 73. In 73, you know, our number one pick was Dave Winfield.
Yeah.
You know, so that was big.
That one worked out.
Best one they ever had.
Right. We've got A.J. Preller, as I mentioned. He stopped by a couple days ago. When we come back, it's a very long interview. We covered a lot of different topics, Padres' overall strategy, how excited he is to have a first-round pick for the first time as a GM. So make sure to stick around for that and have some questions ready for when we come back to discuss it after this. Good job on the Cholula hot seat, Randy.
Thank you.
Uncap real flavor with Cholula hot sauce, the hot sauce with the iconic one cap,
yes.
And the official hot sauce of the San Diego Padres.
More
AJ
chips.
Preller interview on the way, but we're going to be here with the guacamole, so we'll see you in a little bit.
You want to talk Padres? Lucky for you, we're doing exactly that. This is Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio inside Petco Park.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour here in the AMR studio, getting you set for this year's draft. And the man here to talk about it now is a man that will play a very pivotal role in that draft. It's Padres General Manager A.J. Preller. A.J., how are you?
Good. Yeah, getting ready for Thursday. Looking forward to it.
It's been a busy time of year for you, obviously. It's your first time on Social Hour, so welcome. And honored that you were able to take some time because it is very busy for you. So what's it been like now, the week and change leading up to what's been a day that a lot of people are putting a lot of stock into?
Yeah, basically, I mean, our process, we have area scouts, 16 area scouts across the country, and they come in and they present their list, their preference list of players that they would like to select from their regions. And then that's, you know, takes about 4 days or so for them to go through all the players in the country. And then you know, we start about a week process in which we put together, you know, our different priority boards, and we'll rank the guys by position, and then we'll eventually end up putting an overall preference board, and that's what we use to make our selections.
Talk to me about the preference organizationally. You've got six of the first 85 picks. Do you guys have an overall strategy? Do you have, you know, are you shooting for high upside high school arms, polished college hitters? What are you guys looking for? Anything overall in the beginning of
this
draft?
Yeah, I think, I'm sure you hear it all the time with the draft, but I think it's really true. Really just the best guy available, I think, you know, especially in baseball. We, you know, most of the time, you know, the players go into the development system and, you know, it takes them a 3-4 or 5-year period in order to get to the big league. So, you know, I think for the, you know, if we end up looking up and we took you know, 10 high school pitchers in a row, and but we felt like those were the best selections at the time. You know, that's the way we're going to go about doing it. So we don't really try to focus in and say, hey, we need a college bat at this spot or a college pitcher or a high school bat. I think it's more just legitimately each spot, each round, try to take the guy that we feel like is the best pick for that area.
Now, I won't ask you to tip your hand too much with specific names. I don't know if you know every other GM in the Bigs watches this show, so I don't want you to give away anything too close to the vest. But how deep does your planning go? How much do you script like, hey, we have these first 30 guys available so that we have three of those first 30 picks, then we at least know we're getting someone that we have on the board? How deep does it go?
Yeah, I think, you know, you know, you want to be prepared for, you know, for every possibility. I think we try to go through, you know, a bunch of scenarios, exercises in which, you know, you try to figure out, you know, hey, what general area certain guys are going to be at and who may be in play for us in certain spots. I think, you know, I think the, you know, the good scouting directors and the good groups have a little bit better feel in general, but really you don't know 100% until you get into that draft room, until you see, kind of see how the board starts going and who may be there. And I think the baseball draft, for the most part, you got to be prepared to act quickly. And that's why I think the preparation leading into it is so important, because, you know, you don't have 15 minutes between selections. And you know, as you get going through the draft and we get deep into the deeper rounds, you know, picks are being made, you know, every 15 seconds or so as you start getting deeper. So you have to have done your work throughout the year, really set your board the way you want to set it, because you got to make quick calls on the fly.
A lot of us from the outside think we can know which holes need fixing or plugging in the organization. From your perspective, what do you think are the needs organizationally that you guys would most like to fill?
Yeah,
in this draft?
I think when you look at our system right now, I think we have, you know, a nice group of guys that are playing in the A ball level. You know, prospect wise, we have, you know, the Fort Wayne pitching staff is filled with younger arms that are throwing really well right now. I think there's a gap in the middle tiers, you know, in terms of both positionally and definitely on the starting pitching front. And, you know, when you look at our El Paso club in AAA, we've got some good position players. We don't really have a ton of starting pitching options there. So, you know, I think how that plays into the draft. I mean, I think just in general, organizationally, you know, that gap that we're seeing between A-ball and AAA, that's something we have to, you know, have to address. In the draft, though, I still think it comes back to, like, as we said, we're just trying to get the most talented guy, the guy with the best character and makeup. And usually those guys come quick. And sometimes, you know, you look at it and you think, hey, you know, this certain guy may be 3 or 4 years away, but, you know, maybe it's a high school kid at 17 or 18 years old. But the good ones, if you look historically, they come quick. And that's where we just kind of stress with our scouting group. Hey, we just got to get the right guys, and those guys will move through the system for us.
Now, with this many picks this early in the draft, you can apply some game theory here and there. You know, do you spread the wealth among different positions? Do you just go for the best player available, even if you end up with six pitchers or six center fielders or whatever? Do you guys have any thoughts into how you're going to allocate strategically those six picks, or is it again just whoever's there at the time?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely prepared in terms of, like, you know, trying to play you know, that idea of, hey, what combination looks best and everything like that for us. But honestly, I think when we get into the room, it's going to be more just based off of our board, based off of our preference list, and really not trying to focus and say, hey, we need this position, because we're a little light there right now in the farm system.
A similar question, I guess, in terms of high risk, high ceiling versus just somebody solid, do you think that you have a bit more flexibility that you can afford to maybe take a gamble or two because you have all those picks early, or are you trying to get just a solid choice on each one?
Yeah, I think what we've tried to talk about is, don't look at it as, hey, like we're taking a lottery ticket or a flyer just because we have the extra picks. I think, you know, in each spot, you know, make sure the process is right, make sure we've done our homework, make sure we know the players well, their backgrounds in and out. And at that point, you know, you always have those debates. Hey, this guy might have a little higher ceiling. This guy might be a little, you know, quote unquote, safer to get there, a little bit more certainty. I don't think our group is going to look at it. Hey, we have some extra picks, and that means, you know, you're going to shoot from your hip or take a flyer on a lottery ticket guy. It's, you know, continually, hey, make good decisions, make sound decisions. And I think at the end of the day, that'll lead to a good draft.
What is that, the war room, quote unquote, like, the room for you guys, especially in these first couple of days? Take us behind the scenes. Just to put us into that situation, that scenario that you're going to be in for hours on end.
Yeah, it's we do our draft here at the ballpark. You know, there's in a conference type room, and you know, you've got, you know, four monitors going at all times with, you know, some of the college games going. You got video of each of the players you're talking about. You've got a scout usually presenting the player, and then you've got a lot of debate. You've got a lot of guys that weigh in and check in and kind of give their takes on what they've seen. And talking about the background and the makeup, talking about the medical component, talking about the analytic component. And then ultimately it comes down to Mark Hunter, our scouting director, to make a call and put him, you know, and put him in a place that we feel like is, you know, is accurate. So it's, you know, it's a fun room. It's a lot of debate. It's long hours, at least for the last, you know, for the last week. But I think when you get done with it, if your process is right, you end up making good selections.
Just pizza boxes and Diet Cokes and coffee everywhere.
Yeah, definitely the diet right now is probably not too healthy. But you know, I think you know, you look up most days. You look up and you're like, man, it's 11 o'clock at night. Our big league game is over, and you know, and you're still going. It feels like you just got there at 8 a.m. So, but it's a lot of fun.
Now let me ask you about take a step back and look at the bigger picture, because everyone's been saying, especially with the performance of the big league team to this point on the field, the big dates, you know, it's day one of the draft and then it's the international signing period come July. And everyone from, you know, you guys in the front office to ownership, fans, us in the media, always putting it on this date being one to circle on the calendar. Do you feel any extra pressure to really nail this one because of the opportunity with all the extra picks and everyone putting a lot of emphasis on it?
Yeah, no, that's it. I mean, it's always an important day on the baseball calendar. I think this year's gotten, you know, more attention just because we pick almost every phase of the draft. You know, you're picking up in the top 10, then you have multiple picks in the 20s, and then throughout the comp round. So I think, you know, that part of it gains extra attention. In terms of, like, you know, the feeling, like, it's a crucial day always in your baseball operations calendar, because, you know, you look up every, you know, all the time, and 3 years from now, you know, the successful teams pretty much can almost always date back to that draft day, and there's a, you know, a difference-making player or a pivotal decision that was made on that day, or a group of players that are brought in. And I think this year, you know, no different. Obviously, with the more picks, we have more opportunity, so, you know, I think definitely looking forward to that part of it.
How excited are you to have a first-round pick finally? You know, last year it was forfeited. Now this year you get that. You have the bonus pool money to play with. For you personally, in terms of having this sort of opportunity now, how are you looking to take advantage of that for the first time?
Yeah, I think definitely excited and anxious. I think when you go to build something long-term, which is, you know, I think what any baseball operations group is, you know, is trying to do. Obviously, having those picks and having extra picks, if you look historically, like some of the better drafts, usually it's when you have multiple picks. So I think we view it as a real opportunity. I think it's fun. It's exciting. I think when you go out and scout, there's really no players that are kind of off our board. I think, you know, in past years, you know, maybe you're picking the 30s or you know, something like that, and you know for the most part, hey, you're not getting access to the Garrett Coles or the Manny Machados or the Steven Strasburgs, you know, so you really don't have to, you know, I really don't spend a lot of time scouting those guys. This year, it's, you know, it's been all hands on deck, because, you know, we're in play at every spot, honestly, for almost every player, and it should be a lot of fun.
Now, from what I've been reading, a lot of people think there is not that kind of, you know, the Carlos Correa, the Bryce Harper, the no doubt about it available guy. Do you see that type of potential MVP Cy Young talent that may be available to the Padres at 8?
Yeah, I think it's a good draft. I think, you know, everybody always has their impression and their opinion. I think, you know, maybe, you know, if you don't have that that clear-cut consensus number one, and I think in this draft probably isn't. You know, I think we view it as an opportunity, though, honestly. I think we're positioned at 8, and then you know, like you mentioned, the multiple picks in the top 80s. I think it's a depth draft. I think there's a lot of good players. I think we might end up getting just as, you know, a guy that maybe just has as much potential at, you know, at pick 25 as we do at 8, and, you know, the same way throughout. So I think I think the other thing, too, from our standpoint is we really try to stress that it's 40 rounds in the draft. And, you know, I think the most successful programs, you know, look up and you get a guy in the 17th round, the guy in the 18th round, the guy in the 33rd round. And there are good players out there. You got to go find them. And, you know, so this year there may not be that consensus 1-1 pick for, you know, for the Phillies or whoever's picking up there. But, you know, I do think it's a good draft and we're going to get quality players.
I want to take another step back, big picture-wise. You've already made one significant trade from the big league club this year. I'm sure you'll be fielding a lot of calls through the summer. We know free agency in the offseason is a big part of building a big league roster as well. How do you value the draft compared to those other avenues, spring international amateurs in? They're all different pillars you can build an organization on. How do you value the draft compared to some of those other ways in terms of immediate help versus long-term help versus the big picture of the organization?
Yeah, I think just like you mentioned, it's one of the big pillars in order to, you know, in player acquisition, in order to build your, you know, in order to build your program and your team. But, you know, when you know, I think each area's got to be strong. I mean, like, there's really no team that looks up and says, hey, we only built through the draft, or we only built in the international, you know, July 2nd market. You know, I mean, you look up and usually, hey, there was a trade that was made. There was, you know, a free agent that was signed. There was, you know, obviously players that came throughout this, you know, come throughout the system. It's hard to acquire players from other teams, you know. So, you know, you got to, you know, I think that it does put a more of a point of emphasis on getting your own and developing your own. That's always crucial. And I think, you know, usually the franchise guys, you know, the guys at least in the last 10, 15 years, whether it's a Buster Posey or a Derek Jeter or Albert Pujols originally with the Cardinals, they're with their original clubs, you know, because they're those kind of players, you know, Paul Goldschmidt, et cetera. You know, we've got to continue to try and get our own, you know, guys that we can look up that are going to be those type of guys. They usually come through the draft, but really every area, that's the focus on baseball operations, like you mentioned, is trade route, free agent route, six-year free agent route, draft route, you know, international market. I think if you hit those as well as we can, that's how you build a championship group.
Something else about this draft, you've mentioned it yourself. It's after this that teams start really assessing themselves at the big league level and start making some calls. How busy do you expect to be? How much is your phone expected to ring the next month or two once this draft passes about the guys at the big league level?
Yeah, it's always busy. I mean, I think like, you know all teams are working hard and they're active and aggressive, and I think – you know, everybody, you know, you kind of get through that draft point to evaluate your club. And I think, you know, after that, then teams start really getting a little more aggressive, understanding, hey, we're in contention, or maybe we're not really in contention. And, hey, here's what we need if we want to be a championship-type team. They start looking at the teams that, you know, that may be able to have that to offer, maybe it'll help them. So I do think when we get once we get done with the draft, and then, you know, I think the phones will start ringing a little bit, and, you know, leading up obviously to the July 31 trade deadline.
All right, yeah, it's a busy time of the summer for you, AJ. Thanks so much for carving out some time. We really appreciate it. A question I always like asking fellow travelers whenever I get the chance to: you have a favorite airport? I know you log a lot of miles.
I think probably favorite airport, and I would say probably my favorite area, LAX, American Airlines, because they've got a little separate entrance that they let the preferred members go through.
Nice, so. Yeah. And you've got, I'm sure, between the draft, everything else, you're racking up those frequent flyer miles. So, AJ, thank you for carving out some time for us here today.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, that is Padres GM AJ Preller. And this, with more on the way, is Padres Social Hour.
From analysis of what's happening on the field with your Padres to insights on everything MLB, we've got it right here. This is Padres Social Hour.
We are now back live here in the AMR studio. Thanks to Padres General Manager AJ Preller for stopping by earlier this week and unpacking a lot of stuff there for us. We've just been eating guacamole, Chris's guacamole, for the last 15 minutes.
I'm full, gone.
Yeah, it's great. We're hoping to, as the Padres get their top draft picks tonight, get interviews with those guys, get them calling in or Skyping in, and hopefully we'll have those for you as the weekend progresses, so you'll get to hear from the potential future stars of this franchise.
So you're going
to
sit here during the draft.
You're looking at me right here. If there's any more guacamole you want to leave for us the rest of the night.
Am I staying for the draft?
Yes.
Oh, of course. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
We're having a little party. Blooper's going to be here.
We're going to have so much
fun. The rest of the gang's going to stick around.
We're going to have so much.
It's going to be great.
Who would you take, just in general? Who would you take? I mean, what position player would you – I mean, they always give you the best available thing. He's got to have an idea, I mean, where they would like to go.
And the reason we're not getting into specific players on this show,
it's too tough.
In my research, I looked up 7 different mock drafts for the first round.
Oh, man.
There were 5 different players going to the Padres. You just don't know.
There's no way of knowing. But what I would do if I was the Padres is I would find the best bat that's available at the number 8 pick, somebody that can just absolutely rake. This is what this franchise needs.
Are you talking about a high school guy?
I don't know. It doesn't matter if he's high school, college, or wherever he is.
Even I need somebody. You're going to take the best athlete and get that
but
spot.
They keep saying the best athlete. No,
that's
give me the best hitter. Just somebody
so
that can just flat out rake.
But you know, you win with pitching. It's all about pitching, pitching, and pitching.
And if it was all about pitching, the Padres wouldn't be in last place all the time because they pitch okay.
Well, what AJ Preller said is that the big weakness he sees in the organization right now is high level pitching. There's some guys in the low A's. There's now a Drew Pomeranz, maybe a Tyson Ross healthy at the big leagues. But double A, triple A, there's no arms there. You go for a college pitcher, maybe that can accelerate the process. A guy who's maybe at triple A.
Well, college pitcher, get him on the fast track. That he's 21 years old.
I know what you're saying, but it seems to me that you can bring almost any pitcher here to Petco Park and they can have some semblance of success. I think Drew Pomeranz is a good example of that.
So let me ask you this. If you, from a Padres fan,
he didn't get anybody out in Oakland or in Colorado, but he's pitching like an all-star here.
He has been. what would you love most from a Padres fan perspective to get? Like a stud shortstop for the next 15 years, a Clayton Kershaw-like pitcher, outfielder?
No, I just said somebody that can rake. I just want somebody that can bat third and put some strike some fear into
Bryce
the opposition.
Harper. He wants to find
there you,
Bryce
I mean,
Harper.
And I'm not going to find him.
Everybody
I understand
is.
That. But, well, hey. But, you know, Tulowitzki, who went to Colorado a few years ago. I mean, I'm just throwing some names out there. But, a middle-of-the-diamond player that can rake. This franchise is dying for somebody like that.
I agree.
Keep in mind some names, some of the big bats that are supposed to go early. Think of the names Ray, Moniak, Senzel, the kid from Tennessee. Maybe some people had him slip into the Padres. Those are your bats. But hate to break it to you, Chris. Most people, at least in that first pick, see the Padres going with an arm.
Get a pitcher. Get more pitching.
We'll see. But, yeah, it all depends on a lot of different things. So that's why we're not trying to make any specific predictions. But we will try and get those kids for you to see what they have to say as the weekend moves along. New in 2016, fans can purchase 50-50 raffle tickets. And talk about raffle tickets. That's what this whole draft is. For a chance to win 50% of the raffle jackpot at each Padres home game. The remaining 50% will support the Padres Foundation. Tickets can be purchased at various locations throughout Petco Park. Tickets are 3 for $5, 10 for 10, or 40 for 20. Buy during your next trip to Petco Park for your chance to win big. When we come back, it's Thursday. That means the Thursday 3. I'm going to rank the drafts in the big four sports leagues by which one I think is best. You don't want to miss it. This is Padres Social Hour.
We're talking Padres all season long. This is Padres Social Hour, coming to you from the AMR studio inside the team store.
All right, it's MLB Draft Day, and it's also Thursday. Every Thursday, we go through the Thursday 3, ranking anything that comes to mind. And I thought, of the four drafts, which they're all a little bit different, and MLB is very unique in the whole bonus pool and the slot money and all that kind of stuff, and the fact that either you're coming out of high school or you got to wait the 3 years, generally, if you decide to go to college.
Which I think is a good
out.
Rule, by the way.
To me, though, I think MLB is – it's my least favorite of the four big league sport or the four big sports drafts because of all the bonus pool stuff. You've got some guys demanding really high stuff so that they can go to different teams. I don't like that. I like just get your guy in. It's all like a set scale. That's what I like. So my three, the NFL I think is number three. It's very straightforward. It's the most kind of boring of the draft. It's just there. It's vanilla. Then the NBA, I like that they have a draft lottery for the top three, but I don't like that it's so weighted for the worst team. It encourages the tanking. NHL I think has the best draft system because they have a lottery, but it's more evenly balanced, so it's not that much of a gimme if you're the worst team in the league that you get the number one pick. And you can draft these kids out of high school and keep their rights. They can still go to college, and then they can come up whenever they want. Or if they're good enough, they can come out of high school or
juniors.
So
you like the rules in the
NHL. It's more flexibility, but with rules in place. The MLB draft, I think, is a bit of a Wild West kind of situation.
Yeah, I think the hockey kind of makes sense. I think your talent pool for hockey is somewhat fixed and limited.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, how many guys played hockey in California and got drafted?
In California?
Yeah. There are a lot.
Not many, but you look at Canada, that's like a whole extra country worth of people that,
they're doing a lot of Latin international America drafting baseball, now, too, in hockey. The one thing I'll agree with you on baseball's draft is that it's more difficult to follow the players that you draft. I mean, even the most diehard Padre fan that's tuning in today to watch the draft, you're going to have trouble following what happens to the 28th round pick and where he goes and where
lost.
He's playing.
He's going to get
That's
lost.
That's what's hard about and, the
And you never know.
Draft.
I mean, there's some of these kids, I don't know what percentage, but there are going to be some that come to their first spring training the following year and not going to make it.
Yeah, a large percentage, I'm
they
sure.
They won't make the cut.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough. Yeah, and
you're
going to
go find employment.
It's fun, but I think
I've always felt football for the opposite reason, though, because they come right from college. You've seen them in college. You know who they are. They're seven rounds.
Too, yeah.
Basketball similar,
yeah.
You can
yeah,
follow.
It's just it's the I think this bonus pool stuff, there needs to be some more regulation with that. I think that's something that baseball will have to look into in future drafts. Don't miss the next Padres Beer Fest presented by Southwest Airlines. That's Friday, June 17th before the Padres and the Nationals at 7:40. Sample a variety of beers from local and national breweries, all for $5 each. Get your tickets at Padres.com/party. We're going to come up and wrap up this draft day edition of Padres Social Hour.
Get ready for every Padres game with us. Coming to you from inside the team store at Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Tomorrow we're back on at 4 o'clock before the Padres take on the Colorado Rockies. Little baby three-game getaway series.
Yeah, a little getaway.
I wanted to ask you this. They actually left yesterday, the Padres, after the game, even though there's a day off today and they don't play until tomorrow night. It's to get acclimated to the Mile High City. Would you have rather, as a player, gotten there early to get comfortable, or would you rather have taken a little extra day off at home?
The new thought process, having a full day off day there, a little more rest. I don't care if the guys want to go out, get together, play golf. The old days, we would have left it. We would have left at noon today. If we were going to Colorado. Well,
like better, having that extra night in your own bed, or having an extra day to get used to Colorado?
Well, personally, I mean, I enjoyed the extra night in our own bed. I think it was our philosophy in the old days.
I would do whatever is necessary to win on Sunday, so that they don't have to be 1-20
in series finales.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. Whatever you can do, just win Sunday.
Yeah, they have a 5-3 homestand. It was a good homestand. And Colorado, they had
could have been better, though.
Could have been a lot better.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
We'll see how they start again tomorrow. 4 o'clock is when you'll see us again with Bill Center and Bob Scanlon. It's draft day.
It's draft day. Go get him, kid.
Good luck, AJ.
I like it.
Your way. We'll see how it all goes. Yeah. Thanks for watching Padres Social Hour.